The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, Lent is ending for many people this weekend. Some may already be planning to begin enjoying all that they have been going without for the last while. But should you, and can you perhaps continue your good habit for a little longer? To discuss this now, I'm joined by Isolde White, who's a psychotherapist and author, and with me in the studio. Isolde, you're very welcome. Conor Pope joins us on the line, consumer affairs correspondent. Conor, it wasn't giving up for Lent that you did. It was the dry January thing that stretched into the other months in the year.
The dry forever it became, Claire, yeah. And entirely by accident, I have to stress. And in some respects, I am the worst person to be talking about ways are the ways you can give up something for good. Because when I was a child, like many of your listeners, I would have tried to give up things like chocolate or sugar in my tea or sweets or crisps for Lent. And I'm not joking when I say I never once managed 40 days ever. It just was beyond me. Uh-huh. And even as in my 20s, when I was a confirmed smoker, it took me donkey's years to give up cigarettes. But when it came to alcohol, something really strange happened, because around 4 years ago, 4 years and 3 months ago exactly, myself and my wife decided to do Dry January like pretty much everybody else in the country. And we had no real ambition or aim to give up booze. And in fact, if you told me at the time that I was going to be giving up alcohol forever, I would have laughed in your face and said, absolutely no way. And it's not like I was a heavy drinker, but I liked drinking wine at home or when I was on holidays, having beer while cooking a barbecue or whatever it might be, right? So we did Dry January. And the first couple of weeks were tricky because you're kind of going, oh God, January is so miserable. Will we not just have a bottle of wine while we're watching Netflix or whatever? But then you get through the first week or 2 weeks, and then we said, oh, you know, it became kind of a contest, a kind of a game between ourselves that, oh, we'll definitely make it to the end of the month. Made it to the end of January. And then we were like, oh, I think our wedding anniversary, funnily enough, is on the 1st of February. But that was a Monday. And we were like, well, we're not going out on a Monday night. It's a school night. So we said, we'll hold off until maybe Valentine's Day. And then we didn't drink on Valentine's Day. And then we said, sure, we'll get through the end of February. And then in March, and like this, like it's a long old saga. In March, the entire Pope family got COVID. This was around the time, it was 2021, I think, 2020. So everyone got COVID. And it was like, oh, well, that's Paddy's Day ruined. And then we'd go to the summer, and then we got through the summer, and then we go for a year, and then the year became 2 years and 3 years and 4 years. And I have to say, it's amazing how the level of interest that people have in the fact that now neither myself or my wife drink alcohol at all. You go to parties, you go to weddings, and it becomes initially a conversational point for people going, oh, they're a bit odd. Why aren't they
suspicious
drinking?
Suspicious of you. But less 100%. So, actually. Conor, I bet less so now. You know, in recent times, even in the last few years, people don't really ask anymore, why are you off the drinks? It's just become a thing.
It is. There's much easier ways to mask it now. And by that I mean there has been a massive explosion in the popularity and the availability of alcohol-free beers. So, for instance, I was at a family wedding last year and I was necking the Heineken Zero, right? So I was buying pints of Heineken Zero and I was drinking it all the way through. Nobody batted an eyelid because obviously I wasn't standing out. I wasn't sitting there miserably sipping Coke or sipping a glass of water while people were saying, will you not have a drink? So it becomes easier to hide.
Stop you there now on something you said, miserably sipping water or Coke, whatever. Is that the experience of not having alcohol at a wedding or a party?
No, do you know what? It isn't. But it is the perception that people have that it is going to be the experience. And I have to say, one of the groundbreaking moments for me and indeed my wife was at the most recent wedding we were at. It was a family wedding. And we both got up and sang Taylor Swift's Love Story at the karaoke on the day after the wedding, completely sober in front of a group of about 150 strangers. And I can tell you, if you told me 4 years ago that I would be able to do that without having drink taken, I would have said, you're absolutely crazy. There's no way I'm going to do that. Because I think when you decide, okay, I'm not going to be drinking anymore, that's the old me. You kind of have to lean into a lifestyle that says, well, I'm not going to be the miserable one sipping the water or nursing the glass of Coke, because otherwise you have no, like, you kind of drain a little bit of joy out of your life.
Oh, completely. So, you're telling yourself in that case that you're missing something. You know,
exactly.
When you're not really, you're gaining because you can be smug about the next day.
100%. And also you have total recall of everything that happened. And that kind of, in some respects, sex makes you a dangerous person to have at a party, because everyone else is going, what did I say to you? Whereas you remember everything. But I have to say, there is a point in the night, and I'm sure any of your listeners who have given up booze or who never drink will agree with, there is a point in the night when it becomes a little bit tiresome, because the same people keep coming up to you to tell you the same stories.
Thing.
And it's like, yeah, I know, buddy, you told me that 20 minutes ago. And it is, but what that actually means is that you tend to do the Irish goodbye a little bit earlier than other people.
Yeah.
Because there's no incentive to stay by the time everyone's really hammered and doing the Waltz of Limerick. Mm.
Yeah, no, you've no place there at that time. So it's about 11, isn't it? About quarter to 11.
But I did actually find that, you know, as I say, at parties, unless you really throw yourself into it, you know, you're not going to have fun at the party. So you have to make a conscious effort. But then once you do that a few times, that becomes the new normal. And that's kind of what you start to do. And that's how you start to enjoy the parties as much as, if not more than, any other people there.
Uh-huh. OK, well, listen, stay with us, Conor, because I want to get the psychotherapist view on all of this. Isolt, I can see you enjoyed all of that. But when people have now, they're coming into Easter and thinking, right, I'm going to eat the chocolate or have the glass of wine. Is it a good time to think about extending what you've done, if you're interested in extending it? Is that a good time to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling a little abashed after listening to Conor, because I would say I took up drinking alcohol during COVID as opposed to gave it up. But sure, if you've already developed the habit, right, and you heard Conor talking about he developed the habit there and he developed new ways of being around not drinking alcohol that support him in staying off alcohol. So if you've already developed the habit over the 40 days, then if you do want to stay off the thing, then you have a good grounding for doing that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But if you're coming up to Easter Sunday going, I'm going to wake up at 6:30 on Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, and wolf down a chocolate Easter egg because I haven't had any chocolate for 40 days, then maybe it's not the best time to think about extending it.
On that level, it probably isn't. And back in the day, we were allowed to have chocolate straight after midnight mass. And so that was when it started. But I think if it's chocolate, for instance, you've given up, or even alcohol, you probably find if you stay mindful that day that you don't actually want to eat that much chocolate. I mean, you've been dreaming about that and you've bought that really expensive Easter egg that you really wanted, but you find you probably don't want to eat that much of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just have a little bit and then go back. And a lot of the research about giving up things or changing habits is less about, we used to think it's about willpower and you had only so much energy for willpower. But now we see it's a lot more about the story you tell yourself about having a relapse. So, you know, you could say, well, I'm actually going to have some chocolate on Easter Sunday and see how that feels. And then I'll make a decision to recommit and I'll have a plan for it. So if you want to, you know, I would say if you want to stay off alcohol or chocolate, it still would be okay to have some on the Sunday and then recommit.
Right. So all is not lost if you had a little bit of what you fancy on Easter Sunday. Because over the 40 days, I suppose you've tested your abilities. You've seen what you are prepared to do over that period of time.
Yeah. And you've also developed a habit for managing it, right? So if you were used to having a glass of wine on Friday night, you've changed that and are doing something else and you can continue that new habit. If you're used to eating chocolate in the afternoon, you've probably, you know, maybe had some fruit or eaten more at lunchtime. So you've developed new ways of managing and you just need to examine what those are and keep those mm-hmm. going if you want to.
And Conor telling us about himself and his wife doing this together, making decisions to extend it, that, you know, beyond a certain period of time, that I would imagine makes it easier, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we know a lot about having an accountability partner and that's why, you know, we managed to do these things, say for Lent or for periods of time, is because it's a thing we're in together.
Yeah. Conor, did you find that made life a little bit easier when you were deciding to extend, that there was the two of you in it?
I'm not sure how my wife would like being called an accountability partner. But I'll ask her in a minute and see what she thinks. No, 100%. I think if you're part of a couple and one person is sticking with it and one person isn't, it becomes very hard, probably for both people, because, you know, both of you are kind of wondering if you're missing out on what the other person is experiencing. But I have to say that the thing that really opened my eyes and the thing that made it incredibly simple for me, and I'm not coming at this from a puritanical or Holy Joe perspective at all, and I'm not judging anybody who wants to go back on and start wolfing into the chocolate on Easter Sunday or lorrying into the booze, not judging them in the slightest. I just found, and I think my wife probably agreed, that life was actually a little bit better without alcohol mm-hmm. than it was with alcohol. And that didn't come overnight. It wasn't like on the 1st of February or the 5th of February, we realised, you know what, life is amazing without booze. It just, over time, incrementally, you kind of realise there are things that I am doing now that I wouldn't have been doing if I'd had half a bottle of wine on a Friday night, or a bottle of wine on a Saturday night. So it just made life slightly better.
So you're getting up,
slightly become much better.
Are you getting up a bit earlier on the Saturday morning? Like, are you doing activities that you wouldn't have done if you were drinking the half bottle of wine?
Well, I don't want to be all boasty now.
I want to hear it. Bring it to us.
I tend to go to the gym early on Saturday mornings and early on Sunday mornings.
I love it. And then it's done. Box ticked for the day.
And then it's done. And like by 9 o'clock in the morning, the rest of my family is waking up and I've already been to the gym and I'm like, I'm super smug. So it comes with that a soupçon of smugness that you don't get through other things. And I think I would have been more inclined to just lounge in bed had I had the half a bottle of wine, or indeed, let's be honest, sometimes a full bottle of wine. I'm not going to pretend. But it's things like that. Now, there are sometimes I miss it. Like, as I say, if I'm on holidays in Spain or France and I'm walking through a supermarket and I see all this glorious red wine selling for €4 a pop and I'm going, oh, I could have some of that now, but I won't.
Why can't you have one
here's
glass?
Here's the thing, right? I could. Because like I sometimes we think, oh, there must have been a problem there. There wasn't. But I'm very much an all or nothing kind of person. And I know that is all to saying, oh, well, you know, you could have a little bit of chocolate. In my head, I'm kind of thinking, I love the streak. I love the fact that I have this streak and it's ongoing. And I'd hate to break it. And I used to always, as a smoker, I used to always really envy people who could smoke on a night out. Or who could give up cigarettes and then relapse and buy and smoke on a night out and then give up again.
Yeah.
Like when I was a smoker, and I've stopped smoking 25 years ago, so it's a long time ago. But when I started, like I could have been off them for 3 months, but if I had 3 cigarettes on a night out, the next morning I'd be buying a pack of 20.
Oh, he's an all or nothing person, Isolde.
He's definitely an all or nothing person. And that's good because it means when he gives up the stuff, he stays off it. But I think also it's good to remember that the nicotine is actually addictive for most people. But I think Connor's right about the giving up alcohol. There are real benefits physically, particularly as we get older. Alcohol affects us more, affects our sleep. And you just notice lower mood the next day and all of those kind of things. And so those are, I suppose, if you do want to give up something, it's good to look for the positive things it gives you when you give it up.
So when you're watching a film, Connor, on a Friday night, are you having a big mug of tea with it?
Mint tea. It's the only way to go,
Mint
Claire.
Tea? Mint tea. My God, you don't even have a cup of builder's tea with caffeine in it.
No, I have that in the mornings, but no, mint tea at night time, I tell you. And maybe a tiny
He's a monk.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be dark chocolate, not even the milk chocolate with the extra sugar in it. This is too much, Connor. We have to find Connor Pope's vices. They have to exist somewhere.
He gave them all up years ago, 25 years ago with the cigarette.
Well, listen, I think people who are hanging on for Easter Sunday, waiting for the bit of chocolate, like the best of luck to them and may they enjoy it, because I wouldn't have been able to do it. I have to eat chocolate every day.
Yeah.
I just have to. And we should say that if you do have chocolate on Easter Sunday and you've messed up with your Connor Pope streak, you shouldn't worry about it because you can pick it up again, Isolde, can't you?
Absolutely. And look, why are we doing penance? It's supposed, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's really funny that we hang on to this tradition around Lent because there's something penance about it and giving up chocolate, which is, it's not too big of a thing to give up, but we feel better about ourselves in a way if we've managed to give up chocolate or sugar. But you know, we don't always have to be torturing ourselves by giving up chocolate.
I had an Easter egg this week. Connor, I had an Easter egg this week and it was milk chocolate.
I'm delighted for you, Claire. I really am pleased.
He's smug though. He's smug. You can hear it in his voice, I'm sure.
With his dark chocolate and his mint tea going to the gym on a Saturday morning at half
6 a.m.
I know, I'm mortified.
Connor, you're delighted you did this now, aren't you?
Thrilled. The nation will be mocking me forever.
Thanks so much, Connor Pope and Isolde. Thank you both for being with us. And enjoy your chocolate on Easter Sunday if you've managed to give it up for the entire length of Lent.
The Claire Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.